You'll know you're in November because before very long, when you go into the store, the colors of fall will quickly be replaced by green and red as we barrel our way through the month and aim for the season of Christmas. The thing is, it seems as though in recent years, we move through November so quickly that Thanksgiving Day becomes just another day. You know, you stop all of your activities for one day, you say hello to your family, you eat up all the food, and then you move on without really thinking about what you're thankful about and who you're thankful to and what God has done to bless your family. So this year, I want to spend time focusing in worship through the month of November on the very issue of Thanksgiving. We're going to spend time throughout next month looking at the 18th Psalm and all of the different ways that God blesses His people, and that God blesses us when we're on top of the world, that God blesses us when we feel like we're on the bottom, that God blesses us when we need Him the most, that we can be grateful for all that He's done. Because I want us to remember in a special way this month that Thanksgiving really is important. I like the way Mark Batterson says it. He says we take everything that happens in our life in one of two ways. We either take it for granted or we take it for gratitude. I like that, don't you? You either take it for granted or you take it for gratitude. And so over the next month, we're going to be looking at ways we take our worship for gratitude. And this morning, as we prepare to move into November, I want to take a few minutes and I want us to go to the 100th Psalm and focus on one of the most important qualities of a grateful spirit, and that is worship. I want us to look together at the power of worship in our lives together as a congregation, but more than that, worship in your life as an individual as you trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look together and discover the power of worship. But I want to start by just asking you a question. If I ask you this morning about the things that you possess as a believer in Christ Jesus that atheism can never share, what would you say? What is it that you have that those people who deny that the Lord is even there will never have in their lives? And you could come up with all kinds of answers. You could say, well, I have a Savior, and He has given His life for me. He poured out His blood, and He died on a cross, and He rose again so I could have eternal hope. And that's a unique thing. You could say, I have a Scripture that is trustworthy and true. I can open my Bible, and I can discover not a word about God, but a word from God as He speaks to us. You could say, I have confidence in eternal life. I know that from the day I trusted Christ as my Savior, I recognize that when this day, this world comes to an end for me, it's just the beginning of the everlasting life that I have not claimed, that I have been promised by the Lord Jesus Himself. You could say I have a personal relationship with the Lord. And when I talk to Him, and when I listen to Him, I know He's there just for me. But the Bible also tells you there's something else you have that they can never have. You have a song. You have an ability to worship. Think about it. You have never yet heard voices raised to celebrate that there is no God, no hope, no faith, no trust. I don't remember anybody ever standing up and singing, I have nothing. Nothing really matters. And when I die, there'll be nothing left of me. But you don't have to worry about that because you're a believer, and believers love to come together to worship our God and lift up His name. And we love the fact that every time we gather, we worship with music. That was one of the hardest things for me during those COVID months when we were not able to meet together. You remember how awful that was? Do you realize for 11 weeks, we were not together to worship? Instead, we would gather in here and the staff, and we would do everything that needed to be done, and our worship leaders would do what needed to be done. We'd come on Saturday, and then we would record things, and then Jim and Jeremy did such a great job of editing that and putting it together so that on Sunday we could at least live stream our worship together. Here's what's so hard about that for me, though. The thing that was so hard about that is every Saturday at 9 o'clock, Rich and I would show up. Rich would record children's message and other things, scripture reading and whatever, and he would do his part. And then I would stand up here and I would preach to an empty room. And then when we were done, we would leave and the worship team would come in and record the music. Do you know how hard it is to preach when you have not had an instant to worship? It's hard. Do you know how hard it is to preach when there's nobody else here to worship with you? It was hard. I hope we never see days like that again. Because believers love to come together and worship. That first half of our service, that's not just singing a few songs that's so we can get to the preaching, even though the preaching is excellent. It is coming together to lift up His name. It's always been that way. From the beginning, music has always been a part of the worshiping life of God's people. From the pilgrim songs that they would sing together as they made their way to worship in the temple in Jerusalem, to Jesus and His disciples who sang a hymn together in the upper room, to Paul's command, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Why is singing so essential to the worship life of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Psalm 100 tells us what we need to know. It tells us that we sing because we are a people of praise. All my life I've heard Baptists described in a particular way. All of my life I've heard we as Baptists are people of the book. And we are. We are people of the book. And that means that when we think about who we are and what we believe and how we worship and how we live, we go to the Bible. The Bible is our source book for everything we believe. The Bible is our source book for everything we proclaim. Everything that we hold dear arises from Scripture. But there's another book that is critical to believers. We are people of the song book. Songs written centuries ago, songs written last month, songs you remember from special times in your life. They're probably songs that you have in the back of your mind. They'll always be there, and you'll remember, that's the song they were singing when I walked the aisle during the invitation and gave my life to Christ, and I was saved, and that's the music. That's the song we sang on the day I was baptized. That's the song we had as a part of our wedding. That's the song that we had in when we dedicated our children. That's a song that we sang when the Lord did something incredible for me. And it may be that every one of us have something that's our own personal worshiping song book. This is what God used to speak to my life. Songs are so important in our lives. They speak to hurting souls. They lift you up when you're down. There are songs that you sing in the darkness, and there are songs that you sing in the light. There are songs that express the joy of your walk with Jesus. There are songs that talk about the faith that you hold on to with all of your heart. The Bible says that when all is said and done, and when sin and Satan are destroyed and all of God's people are gathered in heaven, we will join the heavenly host in singing praise to the Lamb. Our worship inspires us to remember our hope. Paul and Silas sang hymns in the darkness of a prison cell. The early church sang through times of persecution and danger to remember God always keeps His promises. And we sing to remember that God has promised us eternal life. an absolute hope. There's something about being able to sing, being able to lift up our praise that just reminds us that the Lord is with us and His word is true. And you can trust Him, and He will always, always be there for you, all the way to the very end. I'll never forget, Judith and I, several years ago, along with our church staff at the time, had an opportunity to make our way to BJCC to a Michael W. Smith worship event, and it was a wonderful time. 15,000 people that night gathered together just for the purpose of worship. And sometimes he sang, but sometimes we sang. And at the end of the evening, I'll never forget, he brought everybody out that had been part of that event. And we all gathered together and we sang an incredible song, a song that goes all the way back to the 7th century. And God's people sang it together. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. What I remember is we're singing this song. We're singing Agnus Dei. And all of these people, thousands of voices lifted up. And I remember looking up at the ceiling and thinking, you know, if Jesus came back right now, I would not even be surprised. It was a powerful experience of worship. It is the music of our hope. And we praise Him. We also sing because God is worthy of our praise. In Psalm 100, David calls us to sing to the Lord as a response to everything He's done in our life. He reminds us that we are His special creation. He says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves." Don't forget, who you are is so important because you are God's special creation. And I don't mean all of us, I mean each one of us. Designed, prepared, presented by the Lord. You are His, and He made you. And He reminds us that we rest in His care. We are His people, we are the sheep of His pasture. God didn't make you and walk away from you. God made you and then you became part of His family, part of His flock. He is your shepherd. He cares for you. And we praise Him because we recognize His abundant love is poured out on our lives. Not only that, it reminds us that we live in His heart. The constant theme of this psalm is that we belong to the Lord. He loves us. He cares for us. He's going to be there for us all the way home. No wonder a hymn writer taught us to sing, "Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Your hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." And the 100th Psalm reminds us that we sing because praise is the only possible response of a grateful heart. David went on and he wrote, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations." When you think about what the Lord has done, how can you respond with anything other than praise? David is inviting folks into temple worship. He is saying, come into God's house. And when you come into God's house, recognize where you are and that you're in God's house. When you're in God's house, it's a special place. You know, there's a special word we use for this room we are right now. You know what you call it? Sanctuary. Sanctuary is a rich, rich word. And you know what it means? It means that in one way, this room is just like any other room that you could enter. It's made out of the same materials. There's nothing about it that makes it altogether special. But when you walk into this place to worship with God's people, you recognize this is an amazing place. This is sanctuary. You know what that means? That means when I come in here to worship, I recognize I'm in a place unlike any other place in my life. I'm in a place where I've been invited to be part of what God's people have done. And when we're in this particular room, we recognize, and that's what God's people have done in this place for the last 40 years. But as First Baptist Church, for almost 120 years, we've been worshiping together. You know what that means? That means that these walls are saturated with the praise of God's people. These walls are saturated with the fact that we worship together here. These walls are saturated with the songs that we have used to say goodbye to loved ones who have gone to be with the Lord. These walls are saturated with the songs that we've sung as new babies have been brought to be dedicated to God. These walls are saturated with the music that we sang as we took our turn and others took their turn in being baptized through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sanctuary. It's incredible. No wonder David said, come into this place and come with thanksgiving. And come with praise and be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We're in His sanctuary. It means so much to know that in this place we sing our praise to God. I love the story of W.E. Sangster. He was a powerful music evangelist in the last century, and he traveled the entire globe. He went all over the world, lifting God's name up, praising God, singing for people with a magnificent voice. But in the latter years of his life, he lost his ability to sing. He had a muscular disease that was very degenerative. And as time went by, he lost his ability to sing. And then as time went further, he lost his ability to speak. And toward the end of his life, all he could do was write notes with a shaky hand on a piece of paper. The last Easter of his life, W.E. Sangster took his notebook and he wrote a message to his daughter. And this is what it said. He said, "What a tragedy it is to be on Easter Sunday with no voice to praise my Savior. But how much more tragic are those who have a voice and no reason to praise." Isn't that powerful? We thank God that we have a reason to praise in His sanctuary together. Then the Bible says this, and singing is how we offer our love and our faith and our gratitude to the one who alone is worthy. The Bible says, sing to the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. It's our singing that brings us into the presence of our Savior. Ephesians 5:19 says, we're to sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So when we sing, we don't just sing because we like the tune or we like those words. We sing because this is our opportunity to lift up our praise and our gratitude to a God who loves us. Aren't you glad that as we begin to think about this whole idea of gratitude, that we're able to do that by taking the truth that God has given us in His Word and gathering together the people who love Him and lifting up our praise to the Lord. And that's why obedience to that very command as an expression of our love and our gratitude to Christ, I've asked Jeff to come and bring our service to a close in a different kind of way. We're going to sing together. We're going to sing some of those songs that I've just been talking about. And we're going to gather and worship. So let's stand together. Let's join. Let's worship.
Thank you.
the most important way that we sing when we gather together in church is our hymn of invitation. An opportunity for anyone here today who does not know Christ as personal Savior to come. And I'll be right here. If you'd like to come, I'll meet you. I'd be glad to introduce you to the Savior. Or maybe the Lord's calling you to become part of First Baptist Church and you want to come and bring your membership here. Or maybe the Lord's dealing with you in a special way in your life. Is there a decision you need to make today? As we sing together, as God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, you come. Let's sing together. I'm glad we got to share this time of worship together in this very special place that God has set aside for worship. And I look forward to this coming month as we continue to look at what it means to be a grateful people to a great God. As you heard earlier, and Larry mentioned, let me remind you, we're going to have to move Andy under the stars, under the sanctuary again, downstairs in the fellowship hall tonight. This is our last Sunday of Andy Under the Stars. We've had a great time together over this past month, and I'm glad that you've been a part of it. We had great crowds every week. I want you to come tonight, 6 o'clock. We're going to be downstairs. We saved the best for last because Larry and Jeff are going to be our leaders tonight. They're going to do a great job. And it doesn't hurt at all that we've got popsicles and such in the ice cream freezer tonight. We're going to have a good time. I hope you're there to be with us as we wrap up this study. It's been good to be in God's house today. Let's bow together for a final prayer and then one last song as we leave. Father, we do thank you for the privilege we have to be thankful unto you and to bless your name. And thank you, Lord, that when you call us together, we come to worship and to praise, to grow in the word, and to grow deeper in your Holy Spirit. Bless us, Father, as we go from this place, and be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.